Down to agenda item C, which is general discussion. Commissioners, director, any items for discussion? I have a couple that I can go over after others are done.
Yeah, just a point of order, just one item, Larry. This is Commissioner Smith.
Yep.
Yesterday, Commissioner Thornburn and I interviewed the candidates for the ADA committee to the commission, and we interviewed a number of people, and they were all very, very well qualified, very excellent, very passionate. But we will be making our recommendations to Sam Taylor and Cindy Colville today on the ones that we recommend joining the ADA committee. So, just point of information.
And if I may clarify that, it will that vote will come before the commission probably at our
right.
February 3rd conference call.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Very good. Anything else?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
We had a pretty competitive process for our vacant Region 6 director, and Larry Phillips, who was an internal candidate. We had three external and three internal finalists, and Larry was one of the internal finalists. Larry Phillips kind of rose above the crowd, and so he will be our new regional director in Montesano, taking Michelle Culver's spot.
Good choice.
So I don't know Larry Phillips. Could you tell us where he's coming from, Joe?
Yeah, he's been with the department for, around 17 years. Out of the FISH program, rose through the FISH program from Eastern Washington, initially in Spokane, to the West Side, and he's held several different positions, including one of our regional FISH bio positions in Region 6, so he knows Region 6 pretty well. I think his most recent position was statewide coordinator for inland fisheries, and he has a master's degree. And just the real good people skills.
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Go ahead, David.
I have had the opportunity to work with Larry Phillips. He developed the statewide fishing derby that was a very innovative program. It stimulated a lot of interest and a lot of participation. It was a very creative approach to stimulate more activity on our inland waters, and I think, Joe, I really support this promotion. Larry's got a lot of energy and a very innovative as well.
Great.
I agree with you. I've worked with him as well. He's a good, very good man, so I'm very pleased with the choice, Joe.
One other announcement along the same lines. Our lands division in the wildlife program, I think most of you know, is a large division people-wise and very important on a lot of levels to manage our million acres. And recently selected Cynthia Wilkerson as the division manager for lands. She'll take the place of Clay Sprague, who retires in March. And so we got Cynthia in there about a month ahead of time so she can assure a smooth transition into this very key role for us. And Cynthia's background, she was with an NGO for a number of years, very instrumental in the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan and the purchase of the Tianaway in that role. She came to work for us about 4 years ago and was our a member of the diversity section within the wildlife program, and again, a very competitive process, and she was selected to lead that group.
That's great.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. Any other comments from the commission or staff?
Well, I have an offer. This is Barbara Baker.
Mr. Baker.
If there's any interest when you are... and this would have to be really pretty darn soon. If you are looking for sponsors or strategies on the fee bill, I'd be happy to sit down with anybody who is who's interested in talking about that. It's probably too early for me to go up there and interact with members directly. I'm still thinking about that, but I'd be happy to offer whatever suggestions I can internally.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. We were actually just talking about you yesterday. Raquel and I were meeting with the governor's office staff and strategizing about how to get signatures and how to move these bills forward, and your name came up. And so I think Raquel has you on her call list, if that's all right.
Oh, that's fine. That's actually good.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, if not, I have two items. Brad and I received an email sometime yesterday from Miranda who said that she had to leave earlier than she planned to go to Chicago. Her dad's very ill, as I'm sure you all know. And she had a couple things on here. One of hers was her comments of the support for the budget policy, which we've already taken care of that. And then she went on to say that her thoughts on trying to improve transparency and North of Falcon, and I'll just read those real briefly. Asked for a meeting with the Northwest Indian Fish Commission to discuss North of Falcon and how we might improve relations with the tribes. And then she goes on to talk about we've met with them in past years. We haven't met with them since I've been on the commission, so it's been some years ago. Number two is designate commissioners to attend North of Falcon session with a commitment to take notes and prepare an oral report to provide the full commission in open session after North of Falcon is completed. We can go back to that in a moment if we will. Three is develop a process for asking stakeholders for specific ideas regarding what they would like to see us do. And number four, hold a public hearing, in parentheses, special commission meeting to receive detailed briefing, take comment, discuss what happened during North of Falcon after it's over. That's a pretty heavy lift there. And I do agree that we need to try and improve our relations with the Northwest Indian Fish Commission. I just don't, for all the years I've been doing this, I'm just not sure that I have a vision on how to do that. I'll open it up to the rest of the commission. I do think it's worth some dialogue. I just don't know how much time we want to spend on it today. Any comments from my colleagues?
This is Commissioner Graybill. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about the transparency issue and having people involved outside the commission, involved with the process at North of Falcon. You know, last year was my first experience with it, but my sense is it all pivots on whether the tribes will allow our presence beyond the commission or not. The reality is that they object to even having the commissioners that are involved in the process represented in that room. And Tim Hamilton, as you may recall at the last meeting, waved around a document that there was a bill being proposed that deals with transparency on the hunting side of things. And after a careful reading in that document, it boiled down to it required the agreement of the tribes, and they're the ones that call that shot. And I do think it would be of value to meet with the council, but I think those of us that have been involved with the North of Falcon process realize that when it gets down to the actual negotiations, then the council does not really have much direction, and it boils down to individual tribal issues. That's my impression. I would say yes, that we could have a meeting with that council. It's always a good idea to develop relationships. However, I doubt that we're going to make much progress on the transparency issue with North of Falcon. One of the things that I learned was that there is, through this process, and commissioners that have not been part of North of Falcon, is after our meetings with discussions with the tribal representatives, we immediately returned to the department, quote unquote, room, and there are many stakeholders represented there, from the charter boat fleet to the Gillnet Association to individual owners of lodges and resorts to just general public, representatives from the Pogey Club, on and on, and many familiar faces. And there is a debrief at that time, and Ron Warren did a very good job last year explaining exactly what happened and, in turn, what our position is going to be during the next session. So if people are interested in learning what happens during North of Falcon, there is a venue for that. And I would encourage others to witness that process. And I think we're getting a lot of direction from individuals and organizations that have not witnessed the process, giving us all kinds of suggestions on how to do this. But the reality is it boils down to the acquiescence of the tribe to allow it.
Any other comments on that? The idea of sending a letter to the Northwest Indian Fish Commission requesting a meeting, I guess I don't have a strong position on that right now. I think that I do think reaching out is a positive thing to do, but I'm sure we can talk about it. I'm sure, Bob, you have some comments on it. Number two in Miranda's comments is designate commissioners to attend North of Falcon. We can have as many as four. We had four last year. I know that that I will be going. I know that Commissioner Graywell will be going. Bob Kehoe, you'll be going on part-time as a commissioner and other times on behalf of your industry and your day job, I assume.
Very,
that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I when I go to North of Falcon, I go wearing my PSVOA hat.
Right.
But clearly, you know, I'm in tune with all of the other issues that are swirling around the room, and so I would prefer not to be a an official commission member. I just happen to be someone that attends North of Falcon that happens to be on the commission.
So we can the rest of the commissioners can determine if one or two more want to attend. We can have up to four in a quorum, and I think it's a very, very important and educational process, all in the spirit of trying to bring closure to a fishery for all stakeholders, commercial, sport, and so on, tribal, that I think is critical to get done in a very timely manner. What happened last year is not acceptable. I don't know that we have to cross that bridge today to determine who those other commissioners might be, or on this potential letter to the Northwest Indian Fish Commission. I think if no one disagrees, I would prefer to maybe move it to some date in the near future to have perhaps some face-to-face dialogue about it. Does anyone disagree with that?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's fine, Larry.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move that. The other item that I have is the NOAA again coming out with another southern resident orca whale a closure proposal, which I can tell you personally, before I was on the commission back in 2009, they did this, and they came out with this intent to restrict all boats and fishing and any number of things, with the exception of some. Back then, I'm not sure if it was all commercial fishing or they were going to allow just tribal commercial fishing. Well, now they've expanded this closed area on the west side of San Juan Island. I think it's about 12 miles long and a mile wide off from shore. And I can tell you categorically, without doubt, because I probably have more days fishing out there years ago commercial and more recently as a recreational fisherman, the average fisherman that's out there, whether it be sport or commercial, is not a bother to the whales. I've had them swim up to my boat while we're fishing, come right up and look at you and swim under your boat. But there is one or more persons at NOAA that have a view of this that we have to restrict boating, and so they're back on that again. I actually engaged and hired some people back in 2009 and took on NOAA face-to-face on this thing, and I'm not saying what we did changed their mind, but the thing was put on hold, and now it's back again. And it is potentially a very, very significant economic situation that we have to be gravely concerned about. I'm sure others might want to ask about it or talk about it. I guess what I'm proposing is, and we have to, the letters of the comment letters have to be in by April the 13th, so we have some time for a briefing. But I think the commission needs to consider a letter, as we did back in 2000, as the commission did back in 2009. And I'll open it up to the rest of you.
Larry, did this originate with NOAA, or was there a petition?
Yeah, Commissioner Thorburn, I can answer that and give a little bit more background. I also, too, was involved. Larry and I worked closely together and a lot of other groups back in I think it spanned from 2007, 2008, and then 2000. So what happened, Commissioner Thorburn, at that point in time was, NOAA had a proposed rule which provided for a closure along most side of the west, along most of the west side of San Juan Island. I think it was 3 mile closure. Except treaty fishing, commercial fishing was exempt. But it was a huge. They had all kinds of hearings, a huge turnout. So at the end of the day, that it was too controversial, so they tabled the idea of a no-go zone. So what's happened recently is, that was in 2009. What happened recently was several environmental groups, NGOs, petitioned NOAA Fisheries to consider doing rulemaking again with the idea of instituting this closure, no-go zone, whatever you will, along the west side of San Juan Island. Turns out that this proposal is much larger in scope, and so in any event, so you're right. So what NOAA is asking for comment is whether the agency should take another look at whether to institute rules establishing a no-go zone. And the department back in 2009 did comment, and the department, they didn't come out directly in opposition to the no-go zone, but they offered an alternative, and that was a slow-go zone. In other words, and I can't remember the details, but the department did weigh in on the comment. I'd be curious. I'm not sure. I mean, the petition is relatively narrow, and it just asking people to comment, should NOAA undertake this effort or should we not? And so, I think it would be advisable for the department to weigh in. I mean, I'm not going to dictate what the department says. I think we should let the experts kind of mull it over what they think and look at kind of the recent history in terms of the orca population and see if this no-go zone makes any sense. So, sorry to kind of drone on, but that's a little bit more background about the no-go zone and what the petition is all about now.
Thanks.
Bob, thank you very much for that. I want to add one thing to this, if I may. I think what Bob was talking about, and I don't know that I have it 100% correct, I think what we had talked about between stakeholders and department was a half-mile go slow zone from the shore out a half mile from the beach, which is normally where the whales are transiting the area, that boats had to be less than 5 miles an hour, I think it was, something like a no-wake area. And so that would have provided opportunity for the fishermen, both recreational and commercial. That shoreline of San Juan Island, which is in this petition, is, I think in my mind, certainly, and Bob can weigh in, is it is the best fishing in the northern end of the San Juan, in all of the Puget Sound, certainly, and probably the San Juan Islands. It's and everybody fishes near the beach. The commercial fleet fishes near the beach with their purse seines and gillnets for sockeye and pinks, and the recreational fishermen fish near the beach primarily for chinook and coho. So it's a really, really important area, and I'll leave it at that.
I recall that we have had a periodic status report on the southern orcas, and it is a listed state listed species, and we didn't change the thing, as I recall, the level of the listing. But we could return to that document. It did raise issues of disturbance, as I recall. But just bringing it up, the department has looked at the status of the species recently, so we've got a lot of data already.
Perhaps we could put it on the agenda for our February meeting for a presentation from departmental staff.
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah. Larry, this is Brad again. Bob, was this directed at the whale watching industries in specific at all? Or?
Well, I think, you know, fishermen point the finger at the whale watchers. I mean, a commercial fishing vessel, the last thing that it wants to have happen is have an orca whale by, because it scatters the fish. And so, you know, the commercial fishing fleet does what it can to avoid orca whales, because that means that the fish will be scattered and they won't be able to be harvested. So, but whereas the you know, the whale watching, they have paying clients that that want to get a close, up close and personal view of the orcas. So, you know, Brad, there's been some finger pointing.
Yeah,
back and forth.
When I've been out on the patrol boat and also on recreational boats, that one of those recreational boats has never been Larry's, by the way, just for the minutes there.
thank you, Brad.
I have noticed what seems to me an increasing number of whale watching boats out there. So I don't know if that industry is growing rapidly or growing at all, but it, just a casual observation, there's a lot of them around.
Indeed there are, and they come across the straits from Victoria and Sydney on the Canadian side most often. And the whale watching industry out in the area that we're talking about has aircraft that actually fly around and locate the pods of whales, and then the whale watching fleet focuses on that. So I think it is a big part of the issue. There are people up in Friday Harbor and on San Juan Island, like Ken Balcom with the Whale Museum up there, who says the problem is absolutely not the boats. That's not the issue. You know, there's pollution. There's a food shortage. I met with the ladies from NOAA on this personally back in 2009. I had three of them in the room, and they categorically told me that that these whales in question, without a doubt, prefer to feed on Fraser River Chinook. Fraser River dumps into just in the Howe Sound there at Vancouver, across the border. And so I asked them, not being facetious, or I was just asking a question because I wanted to learn more. I said, so let me ask you this: if you were trying to visualize a pot of whales, and over here there's six Chinook that were Fraser River Chinook, and over here there were six Chinook that were Washington hatchery raised Chinook, which ones would they prefer to eat? Well, they told me they'd like to eat all of them, you know. So I got kind of lost on the focus on Fraser River Chinook, and I know in all honesty they did that with fecal samples and so on. I think there's just a lot of unknowns, and and a lot of hypotheticals, and I don't want to get caught up in that. And I guess a briefing by our staff over the next 30 to 60 days would be helpful to all of us, and then we could decide what we would suggest the department do or we do as a commission.
Yeah, and as I recall, the deadline for comments is sometime in mid-April. So we have
April 13th, to be exact, but yeah. Is everyone fine with that?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments by the commission? Well, the sun's out, and it's now 9:19 on January 20, 2017, and I will adjourn the meeting.
Thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.